Our scripture reading, the second scripture reading this morning, comes from the New Testament Gospel according to Luke. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 40. I invite you to listen for God's word for yourself, for us gathered as God's church, for our world. What words do we hear from God? Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." May God bless our hearing and receiving these words from God. And so I ask, did anybody hear some words, Joanne? Do not be afraid. Yeah. We hear that often in the Bible. Maybe that's because we live in fear so much, and God wants us not to. What else did we hear this morning? Joanne again. Again? Be prepared. Yes. That might make us not as afraid if we feel like we are prepared for whatever. Ruby? You also must be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Yeah. Like maybe right now. The words are here. Anything else this morning? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've heard that before, haven't we? Well, two guys were watching the 6 o'clock news on television. A man was shown threatening to jump from the Brooklyn Bridge. One says to the other, "I'll bet you $50 he won't jump." The other replies, "I'll take that bet." Sure enough, the man on TV jumped. The first guy gives the other $50. The second guy says, "I can't take this. You're my friend." The first one says, "No, a bet's a bet." So the second guy says, "Listen, I have to admit, I saw this on the 5 o'clock news, so I can't take your money." The first guy says, "Well, so did I, but I never thought he would jump again." In our world, there are not very many sure bets, sure things you can count on other than, as we say, death and taxes. Of course, there are a lot of people telling us about sure bets that they've found. The stock market has been one of those for quite a while. Artificial intelligence is starting to look like one for many. Both legal and illegal gambling continue to explode in our society of greed, but just about the time you bet on any one of these, just about the time you depend on them, is when you get disappointed, or worse. So what are we supposed to do with Jesus' teaching in today's scripture from the Gospel of Luke when he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And he goes on to say, God's kingdom is so sure that you can sell your possessions and give to the poor. You can put your trust in heaven, in God's kingdom, not just for the future, but for right now. And Jesus continues his teaching to the disciples to not be anxious about anything, today or tomorrow. Trust in God's kingdom now. I know it's not time for our stewardship campaign yet, right, Pam? But that is where we get used to hearing this next verse of our scripture, which you already heard. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Notice that Jesus did not say what our culture would likely say, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." In this age of growing individualism, we are constantly encouraged to follow our own hearts. But Jesus did not say that. Jesus said to first locate your treasure, and there will be your heart. What is your treasure? I mean, we don't normally think about it this way. For many today, that would be their own heart. Whatever that is their treasure. But that is another sure thing that can disappoint. If your treasure is not your own heart, though, what do you trust in? Your investments? Your family? Social Security? Medicare? Good things. None of these is a sure thing. None of these can protect from thieves or moths or recessions. Only God. Only God's kingdom will never disappoint you, will never let you down. Now, there's an interesting detail in our scripture that I've never noticed before. This scripture is fairly close to the words found in the Gospel of Matthew, but in the Greek, there is a subtle difference. The Greek words for your, as in your treasure and your heart, are different. In Matthew's version, your is singular. In Luke's version, your is plural. And what difference does this make? If I said your shoes are untied, some of you would know, you would wonder who I'm talking about. Because surely not everyone's shoes are untied, and some are probably wearing slip-ons. But if I said your church is transforming before your eyes, you would know I'm talking about all of you. Or if I said stand up for your city, because Grand Junction is, for most of us, our city together. So when Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also," he is speaking to you, plural, to all of us. He's talking to the church. Where our treasure is means some treasure that we jointly hold, that we all agree is treasure. Doesn't have to be the treasure, but treasure. Our heart, all of our hearts, will also be with that treasure, whatever that may be. But what is our treasure? What do we all commonly hold in value? What do we all desire? What treasure can we all agree upon? As disciples, we tend to value everyone's heart and everyone's treasure, whether we agree with each other on priorities or not. And that's why we often agree to disagree about most everything except the Lord's table and the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Think about that as church. How many agree, I'll ask this question, how many of you agree that we can disagree with each other and still value each other and our differing understandings? Yeah, I think we're pretty good proof of that around here. We do some of that. Sometimes our value of everyone's heart and treasure gets us in trouble, though. Again, I'm talking about disciples as general. In general, we often think that we have to all agree before we can do anything important. But if you haven't noticed, I'll tell you, the days when everyone in a church, most any church, agrees are over. That's why we have to trust our leaders, our elders, our ministry chairs, our general board, to do their best to make thoughtful and well-informed decisions about the future of our church. And I'm grateful that we have such strong leadership here at First Christian Church. But do know, we will probably change our minds sometimes. We might even make a mistake sometimes. But when we together find our treasure together in God and in God's kingdom, when we put our hearts where that treasure is, in God's hands, and trust in God, then we can trust God to make great things happen among us when we step out in faith, when we put our trust in God. Now, it may take some processing in your mind to appreciate the importance of finding our common treasure, of jointly gathering our jointly held hearts to God. But when we consider our call of faith and discernment of God's will, as we've been talking about this morning, this understanding is critical. It makes all the difference. It is the reason we have a church, a community of faith, of believers, a church family, because faith is much larger and much more important than just individual beliefs. We can look at Jesus. Did he come up with all his teaching on his own? Or did he rely on his Jewish heritage and the stories of God? Did he rely on his own power to heal? When we read the Gospels, we see Jesus constantly connected with his treasure, pointing always toward his Father in heaven. Jesus came into this world, he said, not to do his own heart's desire, but to do the Father's will, his Father's desire. And in this, Jesus gave us a model for searching out God's desire. When we together seek God's desire, we together discover the treasure of God's kingdom, and our many hearts can become one with God. Now, there's a big difference between singular and plural when it comes to matters of faith, isn't there? And you've noticed recently, that's why we revisited our identity mission statement so often before giving it our blessing. It seemed like we were going to talk about it every week, right? In fact, we keep talking about it. And we're going to do similar things with our core values that we've been identifying. We need them to reflect where our heart, plural, resides in our God. Now, I believe the best way for us to come together in seeking out God's desire, God's heart, is for us to foster good communication, open communication, good relationships, where the Holy Spirit can be at work, bringing us together and guiding us. To keep an ongoing discussion about what is God's heart for First Christian Church, what God wants for us, for this community, for this world. Let us continue joining our hearts in worship, in Bible study, in prayer, following our treasure and making faithful and faith-filled decisions about our core values and other important decisions as we particularly move into the fall. God can use decisions that are made with God's heart at the center. God can use these kinds of decisions and work through a faith community that keeps our hearts and God's heart in the right place, that knows where its treasure lies and has no doubts that God will work through this church. We know that God will continue to work through our vision and action process for something good. We know that God will work through our continuing ministries of the church. So as Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, when he says this, when he says, "give you the kingdom," it is also plural. It is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom, our treasure. You just watch and see. When we come together in faith, we can be sure God will be with us. That is our faith. That God will be guiding us every step of the way. You can bet on that. It's a sure thing. Well, our take-home question to consider and perhaps pray about: how can we share our faith with others when we don't always agree on everything? I think that's worthy of prayer. Will you join me in prayer? Blessed God, what a blessing it is to gather in this place of worship. We call it your house. It's a place we know you are present when we gather, but we know you walk with us when we go out in ministry. When we go out as individuals and share your love, share the gifts you give to us with others, you continue to work through us as long as we continue to keep you in our hearts and to seek your will. Continue to guide us, O God. There's many things we desire for this church, and we know your desire is much greater. Guide us every step of the way and walk with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.